Hello, Pastor Patrick Heinz here at Myrtle Heights Presbyterian Church in lovely Kingsport, Tennessee, on a beautiful sunny fall day, and it's supposed to be warm for the next few days, which is good. And I wanted to pick back up here in Thomas Boston's excellent shorter book called The Crook and the Lot. And a number of people said that they found that helpful about the crooks in our lots, and we all have those. We all have afflicting providences and things that mystify us and are difficult to make sense out of sometimes. But Ecclesiastes 7:13 is the passage of scripture that Boston is basing this on. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13 says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked?" And so it's a very, very good book about the crooks that we all have in our lots in life, and they're very difficult, and they're hard. And so I wanted to pick back up where we left off here and get right to it and try to do more videos that are a little bit shorter and podcasts a little bit shorter. An hour is a pretty long time to commit to one podcast, so I'm going to try to keep these between 20 and 30 minutes each. So I'm going to get right to it here, take the bookmark off in my Kindle. The attributes of the crook. Specifically, the crook in the lot consists of four attributes. And of course, this is just four things that make it a difficulty. Number one is disagreeableness. A crooked thing is unruly, and being laid to a rule, it does not conform, but it opposes it. Now, with respect to the will and purposes of God, there is not any such thing as a crook in your lot. Take the most harsh and dismal cross in your lot and lay it next to the eternal decree, which was made in the depth of infinite wisdom before the world began. It will agree exactly without the least deviation. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. Boy, that's sure hard. That's a comforting thing, but it's also difficult and it's painful when you are experiencing things that really vex you and really, really make you make your heart cry out to God in pain. Compare it to the providential will of God and the government of the world, and there is perfect harmony. If Paul is to be bound at Jerusalem and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, it is the will of the Lord, and it should be so. Acts 21:11-14. Therefore, the greatest crook in the lot on earth is straight in heaven, where there is no disagreeableness in it. But in each of our lots, there is a crook in respect to our minds and natural inclinations. The adverse condition lies cross to that rule, and it will not conform to it or harmonize with it. When divine providence compares the one to the other, there is a clear disagreeableness. Our will goes one way, and circumstances another way. The will bends upwards, and cross events press down, so they are contrary. It is this disagreeableness that makes the crook in the lot function as a trial and exercise to us. We are being tried. And if you would approve yourself to God, walking by faith and not by sight, you must quiet yourself under the will and purpose of God rather than insisting that it should suit you. Isn't that helpful? There are so many things in my life that I really would like to change that I've prayed very, very, very hard that God would bring healing to and would fix and would help. But if we would approve ourselves to God, if we would bear up under these divinely given crooks in our lot, what we're being asked to do with all of them, with all those trials, is to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's a great quotation there. You must quiet yourself under the will and purpose of God rather than insisting that it should suit you. And there he quotes from Job 34:33, which says, "Should he repay it according to your terms, just because you disavow it? You must choose, and not I. Therefore speak what you know." Yeah, just because I don't like it doesn't mean that God should take it away from me. And very often it's precisely because I don't like it, and because whatever that affliction might be, is because it's contrary to my will, that I have no choice but to walk by faith and trust that God, as a matter of fact, knows what he's doing. And that's especially hard, and it really is the most difficult when it comes to children. When it comes to your children and the things that they suffer and the things that they go through, that you pray and pray and pray that God would remove those things, and sometimes he just doesn't do it. And that's got to be the most painful thing of all, is seeing the people that you love suffer and seeing them go through things and that you just can't do anything to fix it. You can't make it better. You can't make it go away. And that's always very, very hard and very painful for God's people to do. But that's what makes it a crook. It's the work of God. And it's so important to know that the decree of God, the decree and plan of God, encompasses everything that comes to pass, everything that comes to pass. And when you consider the lot in life that many people have had and how hard that lot in life has been, and you know, I've suffered some in my life, but I know others who it just seems to be one thing after another, not because they've done anything wrong or have sinned in some way, but because in God's providence and his will for that person suffered and suffered and suffered. And it's always a call from God to trust him even more and to give our hearts to him even more and to rejoice in our salvation even more, to rejoice in what we do know, which is that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life as a present possession that can never be taken away from us or diminished. That's always the key thing to dealing with all these. So the four attributes of the crook in our lots, of the hard places in our lot in life, the first thing is disagreeableness. Okay, so that's the first one. I'm about to sneeze. Maybe not. Okay. Second, unsightliness. Crooked things are unpleasant to the eye. Each crook is unsightly and seems painful rather than pleasant. Therefore, we must be careful not to give free rein to our thoughts to dwell on the crook in our lot, keeping it too much in view. That's very important. You don't want to just sit and dwell on everything that's negative in your life or everything that's a hard place in your life. I always think of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give that famous passage, whatever things are good, whatever things are pleasant, whatever things are praiseworthy and of good report, meditate on these things. So while we face the crooks in our lot, and we face the hard things that in God's providence we just can't seem to get rid of, and the trials that we go through that seem to be a permanent part of our day in and day out existences, for whatever reason, it's more healthy to focus on all the ways God has blessed you, rather than to focus on the things that are difficult. Okay, David illustrates this principle in Psalm 39, verse 3. As I mused, the fire burned. As I mused, the fire burned. Jacob showed more wisdom when he called his youngest son Benjamin, the son of his right hand, rather than Ben-Oni, the son of my sorrow, which his dying mother had intended to name him. You know, when I preached through the book of Genesis, I noticed that and thought that was very interesting. Rachel named Benjamin Ben-Ani, which is Hebrew for son of my sorrow. But, you know, Jacob really loved Rachel. He really only wanted to marry her. It was only through the trickery of Laban that he ended up married to Leah and then Rachel, and then both of their maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah. But he really just loved Rachel. She was the one that he wanted to marry. He had no intention of marrying anyone else. And so her death especially hit hard to his heart. And I always thought, you know, of the four women that he was married to, this is the one that he truly, truly loved. And that was the one that God took away from him. So Jacob, by God's sovereign decree, plan, and providence, lived a very sad life, lived a very sorrowful life, a life that was just filled with stress and hardship and heartache. And it was really, really sad and painful to see that. But it would not have been good for Benjamin's name to be Ben-Oni. Benjamin means son of my right hand, rather than Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. This ensured that the crook in his lot should not be set afresh in his view every time he spoke of his son. And I noticed the same thing when I was preaching. I thought, how terrible would that be to have a son whose name literally meant son of my sorrow? Because it would have been not just Rachel's sorrow because she was dying, and I'm sure that was a terrible way to die, but also Jacob. He lost her. So he was the son of his sorrow too, because she died giving birth to him. Okay. However, a Christian can safely take a steady and leisurely view of the crook in his lot in light of the Holy Word, which represents it as the discipline of the covenant. So faith discovers an attractiveness in it, despite a very unpleasant outward appearance. When suffering is seen as well suited to the infinite goodness, love, and wisdom of God, addressing our real and most valuable interests, we begin to take a most confined pleasure in our distress. But whatever the crook in the lot is to the eye of faith, it is not at all pleasant to the eye of sense. And so while we can maybe over the long haul see the good that God has brought out of our crook in the lot or our hardship, our trial, it doesn't look pleasant to the eye. It always looks bad to us when we look at it with the eye of sense rather than with the eyes of faith. But that's one of the grand things that all of our trials are designed to teach us, is to walk by faith. And walk by faith that God really does have a plan that encompasses everything, and all, including our hardships. And really believe that, despite the fact that our hearts are often broken and we feel down and discouraged at times by the things that we can't change, and the things that God answers us with no. There are many, many things I ask for that God says no to in my life, and I keep asking. And always remember, too, with the crooks in your lot, it's not like you should just embrace them as a good thing. You should continue praying about them. Pray that God would remove those things. Think of Luke 18, verses 1 and following, where it says Jesus told the following parable so that all men would always pray and not lose heart. So it's not that we're supposed to just take it with a stiff upper lip and just be stoic about it. It still hurts. But we keep praying, and we pray that God would teach us to bear up under it in a way that glorifies him. Okay, the third attribute. So we've seen disagreeableness is the first thing. It's painful. And then unsightliness. It's ugly. It's looking at it with the eyes of sense rather than the eyes of faith. It's ugly. It's unsightly. Three, it's unfitness for motion. Unfitness for motion. Solomon observes one cause of the uneasy and ungraceful walking of the lame. The legs of the lame are not equal. Proverbs 26, verse 7. Those who find a crook in their lot are similarly stricken. A high spirit with a low, adverse lot makes great difficulty in the Christian walk. Do you hear that? Listen to that again. Those who find a crook in their lot are similarly stricken. A high spirit with a low, adverse lot makes great difficulty in the Christian walk. There's nothing that gives temptation easier access than the crook in the lot. Nothing that is more apt to cause out-of-the-way steps. Therefore, in Hebrews 12:13, the apostle says, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint. They are to be pitied, them who are laboring under a crook without firm correction. However, it is a rare person who learns this lesson until taught by their own experience. Job made an observation in this case, which holds true to this day. In the thought of one who is at ease, there is contempt for misfortune. It is ready for those whose feet slip. Okay, so that's the third one. It's unfitness for motion. It's hard to walk towards heaven with brightness and joy when you have crooks in your lot, when there's always sadness underneath the surface, when there's always something that's breaking your heart. Fourthly, ability to entangle. Crooks have an aptness to catch hold and entangle us in sin, like the fish hooks described in Amos. The crook in the lot is so quick to make an impression, to disturb and unquiet our spirits, and to stir up our corruption. Satan does not fail to diligently encourage these effects. And after they have been gained by the tempter, the tempted, before he is aware, finds himself entangled in a thicket without knowing how to extricate himself. This temptation is like a crooked stick that stirs a standing pool of water, which not only produces mud, but brings up some very ugly things from the bottom. In the case of Asaph, it brought up a piece of blasphemy and atheism. He said in Psalm 73:13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. I mean, have you ever thought that? Like, what's the point? You know, I fight against sin, and I take these aggressive steps to make sure I'm not entangled by this sin or that sin, and I try to protect myself from this or that, but it doesn't matter. Everything I do still fails. And everything, there's just constant trouble, and there's a constant heartache, and there's constant turmoil, and it just never seems to go away. That's all in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence for nothing. It was as if he had said, there's nothing at all in religion. It is a vain and empty thing that profits nothing. I was a fool to have cared about purity and holiness of my heart and life. Ah, is this pious Asaph? How he has turned so unlike himself. But the crook in the lot is the handle that the tempter uses to make surprising discoveries of latent corruption, even in the best of us. Have you noticed that when the pain of the crooks in your lot, when the things that bother you the most that are outside of your control, when they're really coming into focus in your mind and heart, or really coming to the surface in circumstances with other people, whether it's people in your family, your church, or whatever, all of a sudden, temptations become very strong. It's almost like God is inviting us to rely on Him and trust in Him and call on Him, but we would rather turn for quick pleasure or a quick fix or something that has kind of given us a sense of relief in the past rather than turning to God. But I want to tell you, the reason that crook in the lot is there is to teach you to turn to God, to turn to Christ, and to call on Him in the moment of your distress, and to live upon Him and upon His saving benefit, upon the gospel, in the moments that you're the most tempted to sin, and the most tempted to despair, the most tempted to despair, the most tempted to be like Asaph in Psalm 73. It's all vain. I've kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence for nothing. What's the point? It doesn't work. My life's still a mess, and relationships are still messed up, and the bad things that I pray against are still there. And the things that I've prayed for deliverance for my children, for my family, for my church, they're still there. So just remember, God is teaching you to walk by faith, not by sight. The crook is there by God's design. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what He has made crooked? It's crooked for a reason, and that is to teach you to live upon Him, not to turn to sin. Just remember, when you're at your lowest defense, when your spiritual vitality is like the drought of summer, that's when your temptations are going to come crashing in. And that's when God is calling upon you in the contemplation of that crook in the lot to turn to Him. Okay, so remember those four attributes of the crook. Here, the crook in the lot that we have in life, it's disagreeableness. It just it hurts us. It bothers us. It's unsightliness. It's ugly. To look at it, you think, I just can't take this. It's unfitness for motion. It makes great difficulty in walking high with the Lord and in making progress in our Christian life. We can't move because of it. And fourthly, its ability to entangle us. Crooks have an aptness to catch hold and entangle us in sin like the fish hooks described in the book of Amos. Okay, it is so quick to make an impression, to disturb and unquiet our spirits, and to stir up our corruption. You ever notice that? The sources of pain cause us to turn to sin very often, or tempt us to turn to sin, when really it's God saying, I want you to turn to Me during this time. Turn to My Word during this time. Rely upon Christ during this time, and His strength, and His righteousness, and the fact that all your sins are nailed to the cross, and that you have His righteousness covering you, and that you have that infallible assurance that you belong to God and you're going to heaven when you die. Don't be tempted to go back to the vomit, to the pig slop that you came from. Don't be tempted to do that. He's saying, live upon Me, turn to Me, look to Me, I'll help you. Okay, next section. Where the crook fails, this part right here, where the crook falls. Having reviewed the nature of the crook in the lot, let us now observe what part of the lot it falls in. Three conclusions may be established here. First, it may fall in any part of our lot, and no part is exempted. Because sin is found in every part, the crook may take place anywhere. Being all like one who is unclean, we all fade like a leaf, Isaiah 64:6. The main stream of sin, which the crook readily follows, runs in very different channels in the case of different persons. And due to our various temperaments, a condition that proves a sinking weight to one, another goes very slightly under. Second, the crook may fall simultaneously in many parts of the lot. The Lord calling on one solemn day, terrors on every side, Lamentations 2:22. Sometimes God makes one notable crook in our lot, but its name could be called Gad, being the forerunner of a coming troop. Remember, Jacob's son Gad means troop. Okay, then the crooks are multiplied so that we are made to halt on each side. While one stream is running full against us from one quarter, another is let in on us from another quarter until the waters finally break in on all sides. You ever notice that? Usually, it's not that you have a crook in your lot, it's that you have a whole bunch of them. You know, I used to tell God, I used to say in prayer, I don't do this much anymore because it seems to be more of a form of complaining, but I used to say, God, I can dodge one boulder at a time, but when there's an avalanche, I can't dodge any of them. Well, that's kind of the whole point, is that the Avalanche is designed to make you lean on Christ and to trust in God and to do what's in your power and to leave the rest to Him. Okay. Third, it often falls on the tender part. You ever notice that? If you ever had something in your life that you were kind of like, yeah, okay, God, as far as what you're going to do in your plan and sovereign providence, there are certain things it's okay if you take them from me. There's certain things it's okay if they die or if you hurt them, if your plan includes something really, really bad happening in these certain areas, that's fine, but not these over here. With me, it's always been my kids. It's always been the children. And so many things have happened that have just ripped my heart out of my chest. Often the crook falls in the tender part, the place you're the most sensitive, which is that part of the lot where we are least able to bear it, or at least we think it's so. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. Psalm 55, they're talking, really, that's Christological, Jesus talking about the people that betrayed him and about Judas. His familiar friend, someone he ministered to, someone whose feet he had washed and that he had taught and invested time in. You know, very often the people that you love and have laid yourself out there for and have worked hard to try to help will plant an axe between your shoulder blades without even thinking about it. Don't even care. They hit you in a sensitive spot. If there is any one part of your lot that you are most inclined to rest in, the thorn will readily be laid there. The thing that you really, really enjoy most about your life, the thing that means the most to you, very often that's where the crooked part will be put. So it's tough. If there is any one part of your lot you're most inclined to rest in, the thorn will readily be laid there, especially because you belong to God. In that thing where you are least able to be touched, you will be sure to be pressed. This will be the location of the trial because it is the grand competition with Christ. You hear that? Ugh, that just strikes too close to home. The things that compete with Christ in terms of our devotion and our affection. Remember, God is a jealous God. He wants our highest devotion to go to Him, not to these good, not even these good things in our life, like marriage and children and church and things like that. If those things become elevated, very often they'll start being crooks in those things, so that they don't become idols. Okay, this will be the location of the trial because it is the grand competition with Christ. Ezekiel 24:25. I take from them their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire. You hear that? God says that. I'm going to take away from them their stronghold. I'm going to take away the sources of their joy and their glory and the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire. To take all that stuff away. So that we'll have no choice but to do what? To delight and glory in God and Him. That's really what the school of Christ's discipleship is all about. We all have our things in this world that are blessings. They're gifts to us from God, but they so easily can become idols. They can so easily become competitors with the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for Him. And we begin to serve those things more and are more devoted to those things, which are blessings in themselves, but they're not to be competitors with Christ. And then listen to the last sentence here. Since the crook in the lot is the special trial appointed for each of us, it is very reasonable of God in His wisdom that it falls on the thing that most rivals Him. Now, you know, I hear that and think, okay, I guess maybe I shouldn't love my wife as much as I do. Maybe I shouldn't love my son as much as I do. Maybe I shouldn't love my babies as much as I do. Or my church as much as I do. I don't want God to take everything away from me. So maybe I just shouldn't love as much. Obviously, that's not what this is saying. But the point here is very often the lot will fall in a tender place, a place where we're very sensitive. Something that's really, really, really important to us. Something that we spend a lot of time with. Something we spend a lot of time working on, trying to develop and God will pull the rug out from under us in his sovereign decree, providence, and plan for us. What we have to always remember is that God's plan and his providence and decree are always good. Yes, pray that God will remove the afflictions. You know, you don't just get all excited and happy about it. They still hurt us. But listen to that again. God said about Israel there, I take from them their stronghold, their joy, their and glory, and the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire. Since the crook in the lot is the special trial appointed for each of us. You hear that? You have a special trial appointed by God for you, specifically designed by Almighty and infinite wisdom, specifically for you. As one of God's beloved, dear, blood-purchased children. Because of that, it is very reasonable of God, in his wisdom, that it falls on the one thing that most rivals him. God is jealous for our affection and for our devotion. So always remember that. As you suffer, as you go through the things that are huge trials for you, that is God testing you. That is God trying your love to see if you will cleave unto him until the end. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Good stuff to think about. That's why these Puritans, so many of their, and you got to watch out. I mean, Puritans are not always good, but so much of their stuff like this is great because these people suffered terribly. They suffered a lot. Many of them, you know, outlived all their kids. And many of their children died because of diseases and things like that. And outlived spouses and things like that. And I know people do that today too, but certainly with the advances in medical technology, we tend not to have as many types of things like that. But because of the ways these folks suffered, they had a much grander vision of the glory of God. And they were much less likely to attach themselves to worldly things. And the irony is, if the more attached you are to God, the better you'll be with your spouse, with your children, with your church, with your wealth, with everything that you have. So it's not about turning your back on all that stuff. It's a matter of seeing it for what it really is and for its place. So just remember that. Let me just read that one more time. Since the crook in the lot is the special trial appointed for each of us, it is very reasonable of God and his wisdom that it falls on the one thing that most rivals him. God will be first in our hearts, and in his school of discipleship for each of us, he puts crooks in our lot that will teach that to us. Thank you for watching or for listening. This is Pastor Patrick Hines of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church, and you've been listening to the Pulpit Supplemental Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.bridwellheightspca.org. Our sermons are streamed through Sermon Audio, and you can listen to that on the iTunes podcast version of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church. Feel free to join us any Sunday morning for worship at 11 a.m. sharp at 108 Bridwell Heights Road in Kingsport, Tennessee. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.